Before Brother Maxwell's lesson this morning, he has requested that Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41 be read. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?"
Thank you, Jeremy, and thank each of you for coming out this morning to worship God. It's a pleasure to be with you today. If you have your Bibles, I hope that you'll keep them opened there to Mark chapter 4, because most of our lesson will come from these verses of Scripture, Mark chapter 4. I have chosen as a theme for our lesson how to beat the blues. Most of us, at some time or another, even those that are younger, face some very discouraging times. And I dare say that even some of the older, more mature folks face some difficult times. I remember, Ernest, like it was yesterday, when I was baptized, and I would look around and I would see all of these mature Christians. And I would think how wonderful it's going to be when I get to that age. I'm not going to be tempted, not going to face any struggles. There's not going to be any difficulties in my life, no problems. Everything's going to be, you know, I'm going to have such a basis and a faith that evidently, Satan's just going to run maybe when he sees me. Well, as you can imagine, that just doesn't happen, does it? And we all face problems. We all face struggles and difficulties. I mean, is it that hard to look around and if you want to get discouraged, it's not that difficult, is it? When you pass, as I mentioned in Bible class, the long lines at the service stations. When you open up the newspaper and you read something like the stock market's gone down and banks are closing and job rates are very high and families are facing problems. I mean, if we want it to be, it can be very discouraging and doom and gloom and despair. But I think God's Word gives us the answer, doesn't it? And so our lessons this morning and this evening and Monday and Tuesday evenings will be centered around this idea of how to beat the blues. You see, bad situations come to all people, don't they? Our lesson here, it is about the disciples getting into the boat with Jesus going to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee, many of you probably are aware, it's an inward body of water, fresh water. It's a large lake. As a matter of fact, it's called in the Bible the Lake of Gennesaret as well. About, 11, 13 miles or so in length, maybe 7 miles or so in width. It's a big body of water, but it's just a body of water. And Jesus is in this boat with seasoned fishermen. I mean, they've been in storms before. They know what it's like to face some trying times. This isn't me in that boat. We would be in trouble. This is fishermen. And all they're going to do is go to the other side. Isn't it amazing in life how often it's when it seems like everything is going well, when it seems like everything is in hand, in control, that maybe you get that phone call in the middle of the night, or maybe you walk into that doctor's office expecting nothing but just another ordinary checkup. Or maybe you're just traveling down the highway to work. Any number of things can happen quickly, can't they? An accident, illness, an unexpected phone call. How to make the best of a bad situation? I want you to notice with me, before we get into these scriptures, I want you to think a little bit with me about storms. I want you to refresh your memory about how storms sometimes come. Do they often come unexpectedly? I mean, I've turned it on the 6 o'clock news, and I've seen storm tracker and predictor, and I've seen all of these other instruments that they use, and you know, they can talk about how blue the sky is going to be, and you can look out your window and sometimes and see it raining, can't you? A storm tracker's not perfect, is it? Predictor's not perfect, is it? Storms really are unpredictable. You just don't know when they may or may not come. Because of that, we've got to be ready at all times. Now, I made mention in Bible class, I grew up here in this area. It was made very clear to me about 35 years ago just how unpredictable storms are. You know, I was a senior in Glencliff High School. I wasn't perhaps the best of students, but I was a good student. But I enjoyed having days off, Brother Wright. And I don't know, many of you, I'm sure, are from this area here, and many of you probably remember. I'll remember this name till I die. Bob Lobertini. Anybody here remember Bob Lobertini? If you remember Bob Lobertini, you know Bob Lobertini was a weatherman. Bob Lobertini was a good weatherman. But Bob Lobertini's on my bad list. It was about 35 years ago, the middle of winter, Bob Lobertini predicting snow. You know, we used to have a lot of snow, and Bob Lobertini's predicting snow. Not just any snow, Bob Lobertini's predicting a tremendous amount of snow. It's not going to miss us. No way. I mean, I'm thinking there is no way there's going to be school tomorrow. No way. He's not predicting 1 or 2 inches. He's not predicting 3 or 4. And I'm not adding it all to this story. It was 6 inches of snow plus that they were predicting. So I'm pretty happy. And you know, I'm going to stay up at 9 or 10 o'clock. It's not snowing, but there's no problem because Bob Lobertini predicted it, and it's going to come. And then about 11 or 12 o'clock, you know, I usually stayed up late anyways, and I'm not worried because Bob Lobertini predicted it, and it's coming. Honest truth, about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm still up, I'm still waiting, I'm still watching, and there's not a snowflake that's fallen. I'm getting a little bit concerned because, believe you me, my mother and father is going to make me go to school if it's not snowing. Just because Bob Lobertini missed it wasn't going to be an excuse. Well, it didn't snow. It did not snow one flake, not one flake. Storms are unpredictable, aren't they? You just don't know when they're coming and what they may bring. Storms are impartial. I mean, it rains on the just and the unjust, doesn't it? It seems like this person could be affected and this other person can be left alone. It seems like some people in life go through more than their share of storms. I know many of you have. Well, storms are unpredictable. They are impartial. And there's another thing about storms. They are inevitable. They're coming. They're coming. James, in his book, doesn't say if or perhaps or maybe. James says, when ye face diverse temptations. They're coming. Storms are inevitable. And so we have to be ready. We must be prepared. There are two responses that we can make when a storm comes. You see these two possibilities here in Mark chapter 4 with those on this small boat. One response when a storm comes is you can maintain peace. You can put your trust in the hands of Jesus. Where was Jesus here in this story? He was in the back of the boat, wasn't he? Asleep. Calm, cool, very collected, wasn't he? Jesus knows it's going to work out. Even if the boat sinks, it's going to work out. And so we can either have peace in our life when those storms come, or the second possibility, and we see this as well here in Mark chapter 4, we can panic. Peace or panic. Isn't that what they say is causing a lot of the gas shortage even now? Panic. You know, Friday afternoon I was going home and I'm driving my little black S10 pickup truck. Gets good gas mileage. And I start seeing all of these lines at the gas pump. I didn't know anything was going on. And the further closer I got home, the more I saw these lines backed up. My gas gauge was reading between full and three quarters of a tank. Full and three quarters. And I'm starting to think, you know, should I get in this long line too? Do they know something that I don't know? Panic sometimes breeds panic, doesn't it? And that's what was happening here in this boat. They were afraid because they didn't know what was going to happen. When we panic, we lose our reasoning ability. We don't see clearly. We don't think clearly. We don't act rationally. We forget all of the times in the past in which our Lord has taken care of us, and all we can focus on is what's going to happen. Now, I made mention of Jeremy, Sonia, this morning in Bible class. Appreciate them so very much. They are newlyweds, quote, newlyweds, a year and about 3, 4, 5 weeks or so. And so this is my little inspirational marriage part to Jeremy, that, you know, being the head of the household, being the man, you've pretty well got to maintain your composure. You've got to be in control. 30 years ago, Melinda and I had been married about a year. And we're living in this duplex. It's in the middle of winter. Pretty sure we just came home from church. It's been a long time, so I forget the story exactly. But Melinda, being a new wife, rushes in, screams out, the house next door is on fire. We lived in a duplex. There was a duplex next to us. The side right next to us, the neighbor side over here, it was empty. We knew it was empty. Nothing on the windows. It was an empty house. And sure enough, I rushed in there and I look and I see through our window over into the vacant house next door, flames of fire. We know it's empty. So I rush in there, Brother Wright, dial 911, and I let that operator know in no uncertain terms that we've got a situation here that calls for action. We need a fire engine. We need it quickly because this vacant, empty house next door is on fire. And literally, the distance between those two houses was no greater, if this great, between these walls here. And I had no sooner hung up that phone till I was hearing some action. You could hear those fire engines in the background. They're coming. Evidently, I conveyed quite well the seriousness of this situation. And it's going to be taken care of and handled in a quick manner. And we look out the window again and we see those flames still. But you know, have you ever looked at something a second time, and maybe have you ever calmed down just a little bit and looked at a situation and realized that maybe it wasn't quite as desperate as you first anticipated and thought and reasoned it to be? That seemed to be the case here. Yes, there's fire, but no, it's not quite as, it's not like the Chicago fire that I've read about. And I keep looking. And I keep watching. All the while I'm hearing these sirens coming. Then I start looking closer and I see a little bit of fire on the back of the house too. Then I start seeing that, you know, it's not changing. There's no smoke. Then I really look close and I see, you know, that window, that kind of looks like a sheet or something that's hanging on the window. It was a sheet, but there's fire. Well, the fire is coming outside the house through the window where someone was evidently hired to go in, I think, and paint this vacant house. And he was either out there, I don't know if I forget now if he was grilling or if he was just burning out his paint cans, as my grandfather used to do. And so the fire is just coming through that window and nothing's on fire, nothing's burning. Now, about this time, all the fire engines in Davidson County pull up along with an ambulance. Now, I wish I could have went and hid under a rock, but I couldn't. I walked out there to the street and I conveyed to those cold firemen who had gotten up out of, I'm sure, a comfortable place that, well, I made a mistake. You know, I really thought, and I did think there was a fire. You know, storms are kind of like that, aren't they? They can cause us to panic. They can cause us to really lose judgment. Now, quickly, three things I want you to remember. Remember these three things from Mark chapter 4 here. I want you to remember, first of all, when storms come, Jesus is always with me. Jesus is with me. Do you ever forget that? Who was it that told them, the disciples here in Mark chapter 4, who was it that told them, let's get in the boat and go to the other side? Was it their idea? It wasn't, was it? It was Jesus. It was Jesus' idea. They, the disciples, are following Jesus. Jesus is always with me. There is a misconception that many in the religious world falsely teach, that if something's happening in your life this morning, evidently it's happening because you're just not living a godly life. Isn't that what the friends of Job were trying to say? Job, now just tell us what's really happening. Tell us what you're really doing. that wasn't the case, was it? That wasn't the case here in Mark chapter 4. They were doing what Jesus instructed them to do. You see, just because problems come in your life, don't start thinking that maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe I'm not living close enough to God. In reality, you know what? The opposite may very well be true. You see, Satan's not going to bother those who aren't trying to serve God, is he? Pretty well, he already has them in control. Satan's after those that are faithful and those that are strong. Remember, God is always with me. And so when all of those difficulties and struggles seem to sort of pile up, just start thinking that, you know, God's with me. When you're sitting in traffic and you know, there's an accident and you're upset because you're going to be late for work, maybe the alarm clock didn't go off, maybe you lost your job. When you start thinking that all of these things, you know, how, why are all of these things happening to me? Remember, God is always with me. After the events of September the 11th, 2001, it wasn't long at all before many stories surfaced of individuals who should have been in one of those towers, but for various reasons they weren't. I found many of these quite interesting. There was a fellow who it was his turn to bring donuts. Because of that, he would have been in one of those towers, but he wasn't. There was a woman who was late because her alarm clock didn't go off. There was one who wasn't in those towers because he missed his bus. One spilled food on her clothes and had to take time to change. There was one whose automobile wouldn't start. There was one who went back to answer the telephone. Then there was this fellow who had bought a new pair of shoes and he was kind of taking some various routes to get to work to break in those shoes, and he discovered that he wore a blister on his toe and stopped and bought a Band-Aid to put on his foot. Because of that, he feels that he was saved. You see, whatever happens in our life, we need to remember God's with me. And never, ever forget that. The second thing we need to remember is that God cares what I go through. Remember verse 38, I believe it is, that Jeremy read to us. The question is posed by the disciples, "Carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care?" Yes, Jesus cares. Never forget, Jesus cares. Jesus cares what you're going through. Jesus cares what I go through. Casting, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We see the care of Jesus, don't we, over there in John chapter 11 with Lazarus. As Lazarus has died and the grieving sisters, Mary and Martha, send for Jesus, and Jesus comes, and there in verse 35 the Bible tells us Jesus wept. Jesus cared, didn't he? Jesus cares what we go through. Whatever happens, Jesus cares. I know chances are you've got some good relatives and maybe co-workers and neighbors and friends and Christians that care about you. And that's wonderful. That's good. But never forget, Jesus cares about you. And no one can care quite like our Lord, can they? And so we need to remember, God's always with me. Psalms 23, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. God's always with me. Matthew 28, verse 20, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, I will never forsake thee nor leave thee. God's always with us. God cares what we're going through. Cast your care upon Him. He cares for you. One last thing that we need to remember here from Mark chapter 4, and that is this. God is in control. God's in control. We live in a world in which it seems at times like, who's in charge of this? God's in control. God is in control. God is alive. God took care of this situation here in Mark chapter 4. He calmed the seas. He stilled the waters. God is in control. Matthew chapter 6, remember, Jesus had just really began His public ministry. And He clearly tells us, you know, take no thought for tomorrow, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall put on. God's in control. Look at the birds of the air. Consider the lilies of the field. God's in control. Jeremiah would say that nothing is too hard for thee. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17. Does this mean that everything's going to happen as you want? Is everything going to happen as you desire simply because God's in control? If I were to ask you, has everything in your life gone completely according to that which you desired? Has everything in your life gone according to what you wanted? I don't believe there would be a person in this auditorium this morning who would raise their hand. And you know what? I'm glad things haven't gone as I desired. You see, I'm human. I don't really know what sometimes I need. Have you ever asked for something and a short time later realized that's not what I needed? Kind of like the story of little Jimmy. Little Jimmy was like a lot of little boys. Little Jimmy wanted to be a cowboy. I mean, little Jimmy just sat in front of that television watching reruns of Gunsmoke and television westerns. Daddy, when I grow up, I want to be a cowboy. I want to run a ranch. Will you help me? Yes, the father said. Well, as time went on, little Jimmy grew up. Little Jimmy started liking girls and dating. Little Jimmy became involved in other interests. And the day came, little Jimmy came to his father and said, Dad, I want to go to college. I want you to help me. And his dad said, no, I can't help you. I bought you this ranch out here in Texas. And, you know, you told me when you were 7 years old you wanted to be a cowboy. And you've got some cattle out there you've got to take care of now. But, Dad, I was only 7 years old. You see, God is in control. And I'm glad He is. I don't always know what I need. One last thing I want you to remember here from Mark chapter 4, and that is this. I think this is the key and the essence of our lesson today, and really of life itself. Jesus, nowhere in the Bible does Jesus say that life isn't going to be difficult. Jesus didn't tell those disciples that you weren't going to get wet. Jesus didn't say it wasn't going to be difficult. Jesus never said that life is always going to be blue skies and rainbows, did he? What did Jesus say here in Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 35? Jesus said to those disciples, "Get in the boat, and we're going to the other side." And that they did. You see, that's what life is. Jesus is in control. He's going to help us make it through whatever situations and whatever struggles and whatever difficulties in life we may find ourselves in.